Welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach on the other side of the glass. As I said, going out, we were going to talk about what's going on in California. Student athletes at universities are getting an opportunity, maybe, perhaps, they're waiting for the governor to sign the bill because it got passed through the House and everything. But it's at the governor's. It's on his desk.
On his desk, just waiting for just that waiting John Hancock.
And then once it goes into effect in January 1st, 2023. So that's 3 years from now. But what that means is that these athletes can use their likeness and different things like that to make money. And a lot of people aren't happy. The NCAA is not happy about it. I'll tell you that. And we're going to go to a guy I know. And a friend of mine, Samir Dama. Hey, Samir, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Samir, let me tell you about Samir. Samir is a lawyer. He was a professor at Ohio State University Law School, but he was an undergrad at the University of Michigan. So before anybody says anything, be quiet. He's a Michigan man. Don't start that bull crap.
Right.
I don't want to hear it.
You just heard the go blue.
I'm just making sure. What's up, Samir? Samir, what do you think about California and all of this? This is kind of around your wheelhouse too, because you represented a former athlete. I'll say a high profile athlete. Down in Columbus, they were stealing his likeness at his home at his college.
Yeah, I represent currently still Chris Spielman and the class action matter. It was originally against Ohio State and IMG. Mm-hmm. Now it's just against IMG and the company that it merged with called Learfield. Now it's called Learfield IMG. And they were. It's a very similar matter. I mean, the California law is about current student athletes, and Chris's matter is about the. The theft, basically, of name, image, and likeness rights from athletes after they had graduated college by basically putting their image and likeness, the name, on banners and putting ads on them and selling them without the player's consent. And so we're still working through that lawsuit down here in the federal court in Columbus, Ohio. But this stuff's fascinating. I think it's really interesting. And as a Michigan football season ticket holder and devout fan, it's really interesting to me, and I think it's progress, and I think it's going to be good for everybody. It's going to make the pie bigger.
And here's the thing: when you look at it, California's revoking the scholarships and scholarship eligibility. It's prohibiting schools from doing that, and athletes who profit off of their names and images and likeness now, and go out and make money on this now.
Yeah, just like the Olympic model, you know. Michael, what was that swimmer's name that he even swam?
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps, you know, he could do the Wheaties box and still swim in the Olympics. And that's what they're saying here. They're saying the California legislature is saying, hey, schools of California, you are prohibited from entering into contracts or upholding rules like the NCAA's that prohibit your students from selling their name, image, and likeness, doing endorsement deals, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're saying here. And I think that's the right thing to do. It just comes down to a fairness thing. The rest of the society can do that. Why are we arbitrarily deciding that these students can't do what we can do because we want to be entertained?
Well, I guess my whole thing is, and I know you, Matt's chopping at the bit to you.
I got a question for him again. But, Samir, think this is very interesting too.
It is. Samir, here's the thing. I guess at the universities, and I get it. I heard that the NCAA was doing they were going to talk about it amongst themselves. And they were looking into maybe granting student athletes their likenesses. Now, California, the state of California went and did it themselves. So, I think we talked about this before. I mean, if you got a school, UCLA, that's a Adidas school, what if the athlete decides, I'm a Nike guy? How did they decide that?
Okay, so let's say a person is in high school and they sign a deal with Adidas. They have a contract with Adidas, and they just need to, on their own, independently decide, well, do I need to break that contract I have with Adidas because I want to go to a Nike school, or do I just not want to go to that school and I'll go to an Adidas school? That's just their independent, whatever's in their personal best interest, they can do. And the law does, the California law talks about, you know, a school, it says a team contract can't prevent a student from using their nil when the athlete is not engaged in team official activity. So if you're a Nike school, you can't say to your players, hey, Shay, you can't go and do a deal with Adidas where you're not wearing any Michigan gear, you're not at practice or game or a team function. So that means that, according to this law, you know, you can go out and be an Adidas player in your private life, but when you're with the team, you can't do that. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Wow. Go ahead,
Samir. What I wanted to ask your expertise on is what, in the rumblings that I've heard about the whole, just the situation in general, is that if this does pass, that the NCAA has says, then schools within the state of California will not be officially recognized by the NCAA and will not be allowed to participate in NCAA sanctioned events. And then I've heard the one step further than that is they're saying, well, the NCAA can't do that, and that is in violation of antitrust law and different things like that. So not knowing much about the legal system, I would just wanted to see if you could shine some of your expertise on what would happen if some of these dominoes did fall into place.
Sure. So we are in America, and we believe in competition, and we don't like monopolies. We want competition. We think it brings out the best in all of us. And the Supreme Court of the United States has, like, repeatedly held that the NCAA is a monopoly. Back in the 80s is when it first started. And that's what happened in the O'Bannon case and the Jenkins and all, everything. I mean, the NCAA is undoubtedly a monopoly. And so if they want to play that threat of we're going to kick you out, then the state of California is going to sue the NCAA for antitrust violations, and they're going to win. And they're going to say, look, you're a monopoly, and you're limiting competition by kicking us out of the market, which you have a complete monopoly on. This is wrong, and this monopoly needs to be broken up, or this policy can't be enforced. And I think that they'll win. Now, one thing to note about the NCAA is they say they're looking into it, but they only do anything kicking and screaming.
Well, they.
I mean, they had to.
They don't want to do anything until they really have to, like you just said.
Yeah, until they've lost all appeals through litigation, do they change? And that's not my opinion on them as a value judgment. That's just like look at how reform happens within the NCAA. It's only through litigation, and after all appeals are exhausted, and the other monopoly thing that's interesting about this is the agent aspect of this. The California law actually, I'll have to look at it to see if it requires agents, but it certainly permits the students to have agents, and then the agents have to be in compliance with federal laws and licensed and registered and all that stuff. And that gets, do you want to say something?
I do, but go ahead, finish. I'm biting at the bit, but go ahead.
There's another monopoly at play here, and that's the Learfield IMG monopoly, which is, like I mentioned earlier, Learfield and IMG merged at the end of 2018. They merged. It appears to have been blessed by the Department of Justice, which was investigating it for more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal court, where they have to like get the merger approved, the judge there has not signed off on the merger. And IMG Learfield now controls 54 of the top 65 schools. And so I would be shocked if Learfield and IMG wasn't going to step in, represent these players and schools, because, you know, these are going to be three-way contracts where Well, these are going to be three-way contracts. So not only
are they going to represent the universities where they sell the universities athletic department, their radio rights and different things like that, but now they have to go to those student athletes and represent them too, is what you're saying.
They're looking forward to it. They're making the pie bigger.
They're chomping at the bit for that.
So wait a minute. So yeah. What you're saying is they're kind of getting in before the real agents and people get to the juniors and seniors and probably in basketball and football and just the baseball and everybody like that. I mean, and hockey.
Yeah. I mean, they're agents. IMG is a talent agency of entertainers.
Really, it becomes even slimier to me. That's what it says. I mean, parents are going to be talking. Not only are they going to be talking about the universities, they're also how much is my kid going to get?
Well, and that's where IMG has to be careful, because in our case in Columbus, they didn't do the right thing, and they're a huge, super sophisticated company. They went and grabbed name, image, and likeness of some very famous people, and they sold it and put ads on it, and just openly, in my opinion, violated the law. And that's they need to be careful. They need to be cognizant of that, because if they're going to talk to families and say, "Hey, we're going to represent your son, Zion Williams or Shea Patterson or whoever the next five star is," they need to be able to say, "And we're going to do it responsibly and professionally." And so there's a lot of things that have to get worked out here, but that's my opinion, just my opinion of how things are going to work out.
Which, Samir, like you said, then IMG essentially has a monopoly on the agency game of all student athletes.
They would represent almost essentially every
student athlete across the board at these major universities.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they were able to work with the Department of Justice. They had some minor restrictions on what they have to do, but the fact of the matter is that there's going to be 54 of the top 65 schools. They are represented by IMG in their field.
So you're saying the Power Five schools, the schools that are in the Power Five, they represent a large percentage of them.
Yeah, if you go onto their website, it lists all their what they call properties, and it's universities that they. Universities like Michigan and Ohio State, both represented by IMG, they subcontract out. Hey, you go sell ads, sell our programs, do our TV, all that stuff. That's a sensitive subject at Michigan Stadium. But that's what they do. I'm not an antitrust lawyer, but 54 or 65, I don't know what the market percentage of market cap of that is, but it's I think scary.
Well, I guess I want to get back to the law itself in California. It's just fascinating to me. So when that goes into it, you're saying that, the NCAA, yes, they said that they would do that. The kids wouldn't qualify, but they backed off of that a little bit. They're just begging people not, they don't want the universities to do it, but there's, like you said, there's no way they can stop them, because they're going to get sued. So that being said, that would open up the floodgates pretty much almost around the country.
Yeah. They kick out California schools from all their, the Pac-12 is not,
it's not as strong as the Big Ten.
It's basically the tournaments and stuff like that the NCAA controls and makes money off of. The season, it's the Big Ten season. It's not the NCAA season.
Right.
For football, at least. That's what I suspect. I don't know. Maybe they'll be more proactive this time and work something out. But, one of the things that I thought about, guys, is I think that this solves a real problem And maybe this will help people that are opposed to it warm up to the concept of college athletes, you know, being able to sell their likeness. Is if you're, basketball is a good example because there's a lot of one and dones there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Zion Williams, and you can either stay at Duke and not make a penny and risk getting injured and then never making any money, or maybe you get you buy an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this a lot in the bowl games for college for seniors,
right?
In football, is I'm not going to play. I don't want to hurt myself because then I can't go to the NFL and finally get paid for the 20 plus year or 20-ish years I've been working so hard to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Is if they can get paid on their endorsements in school, maybe they wouldn't have that. You know what? I got to go to the NFL or the NBA because that's my only chance to finally get compensated for this skill that I've been working on for the past 20 years. I mean, that's their profession. Just like a student that goes to Ross wants to be a consultant. These guys have been hustling and working like crazy, and they're trying to get finally compensated for it. But so they're going to leave early because they could get injured. But if they can do endorsement deals and get paid while they're in school, maybe you'd see a lot more players stick around for their senior years or basketball they'd play 2, 3, 4 years, you know, which I think is a real value at Michigan.
Depends on how much those players. I would agree, but it depends on how much those players are giving up, because if you're Zion Williams, maybe he does come back for that sophomore year, but mm-hmm. maybe it depends on, I don't know, and maybe the NCAA, they'll try to put regulations on how much a kid can make, different things like that, because it can get crazy. I mean, Zion Williams, he could have made probably over, I'm going to say $30 million on his own at Duke. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you advertise him right, signing autographs and doing different things, yeah, he could have made a ton of money. I agree with you on that, and he could have stayed out of the pros. But that being said, how much would he get, you know?
Well, I think maybe with like the big ones, like a Zion, he mm-hmm. would probably go regardless, but maybe a lot more of those fringe players who are, you know, there's always been those guys who have left early that, you know, most people have been like, you know, what are you thinking? But again, from their perspective, if you're an athlete, this is your opportunity to make money, to make a living doing what you're doing. And like Samir said, in an athlete's mind, in today's world, you need to get to that professional level as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible, with the least damage done on your body. So I feel like for Zion's, they would probably still go after the 1 year anyway, but maybe a Cam Reddish was still a top 10 pick. But some of those other guys that do end up leaving early that don't pan out, that aren't lucky enough, like a Jordan Poole or some of the guys.
Jordan Poole was drafted in number one.
That's what I'm saying. He was a first-round pick, but right. There's a lot of guys who do go after their sophomore or junior year. There was a freshman point guard at Michigan State. I can't remember, but he led the team in scoring and assist and went to the draft and didn't get drafted, but never got to come back, where there's a lot of players like that I think it could potentially entice.
This is not – but see, I don't see this as – a career thing. I see it as when you're in school, you're making a little bit of money on the side. You're not making, you're making some living money, some get around money. You're not trying to find a pot of gold that's going to last you for a lifetime. Right, Samir?
No, but it changes the equation from an all or nothing to a smoother choice, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, so
I think
that's a positive benefit that I haven't heard many people talk about is, you know, you might get some players stick around because they're not faced with that. What if I get injured? I have to go, even though I wouldn't mind staying for another season or my senior year or something like that.
I mean, the way I see it is it does. It's not just for basketball and football. I mean, perhaps you have a great soccer team. Women's soccer team mm-hmm. and the University of Michigan soccer team, and they're playing great. These young ladies can now sign their autographs and get paid for and they make some extra money on the side. Instead of, and I mean, in the NCAA, as a student athlete, you can't get a job during in season.
Nope.
So, I mean, they can make some extra money on the side. maybe, you know, it's a significant amount at the one time that you get a chance, but you make some money while you're in school.
And they might use that money to just enrich their athletic career.
Right.
You know, they might be able to then afford a private coach to maybe make the Olympic team or some or private trainers that, I mean, I'm, you know, I know the universities have an amazing training staffs and things like that, but they might use that money to, they might just recycle that back into their athletic career. I mean, they might, they don't have to, but they might.
That's not a bad idea too. I mean, that's a great idea. Maybe the school and the athlete, they signed something together saying we recycle that money. That's not a bad idea either.
Well, Samir, with just a minute or two left here, I just want to get your idea. So do you think that this is something that is definitely going to get signed into existence? Do you see the dominoes? I know you said if the NCAA tried to bring up their different opposition to it, that the state of California would likely win in that antitrust lawsuit. But do you think this is something that is inevitable, that we should just be expecting to happen here soon enough?
It's on the governor's desk. It's,
I know,
a signed deal.
That's
a
signed deal.
It's a done
in
deal.
California, it passed their House and Senate unanimously.
Yeah.
And I haven't paid too close attention, but I would be really surprised if their governor didn't go along with it. It sounds like in California, their legislature is very supportive of it. And so I would be shocked if it didn't go into effect in California, and then you've got this three-year time clock. and I would hope, you know, I hope that they can work things out. You know, a lot of people are talking about, well, you know, should we pool the money or hold it in trust and things like that. And I don't think those kind of, you know, people are talking about regulations. What kind of regulations can we use, put in place to make this better? And I think that those kind of regulations aren't going to help, you know, the pooling of money or holding it in trust. That just complicates it. The only regulation that I think might be helpful is something that says you can't do these endorsement deals until you're on campus. And that might help cut down on a little bit of the, you know, the car dealership classic problem. but still, I mean, if Michigan and Texas are known for, look, the players that go there get bigger endorsement deals than the players that go to Tennessee or wherever.
Right.
Then people are still going to know, like, well, if I go to a bigger brand, I'll probably do a better endorsement deal there than if I go to this brand. So it's still going to be used in recruiting, but maybe it just won't be as, you know, distasteful.
I mean, think of all the opportunities the kids will get. I mean, the Gatorade kids, Coca-Cola,
yeah.
Pepsi. I mean, you got all kinds. And then the car thing is kind of crazy, too. I mean, kids can, but do kids get lesser in their scholarships? You know what I'm saying? They look at it, okay, so you're getting paid that, and we'll take some of that.
You couldn't do that because of Title IX, which is the federal law that says you got to treat people equally, men and women,
okay,
in general, in education. And so you couldn't say, well, Shea Patterson, you got an endorsement that's way beyond your scholarship, so you don't. We're going to deduct that from your scholarship, and you got to pay full tuition. But everybody, but the, you know, women's teams who don't command as high endorsements, I doubt that would happen.
Well,
I don't think you'd see that.
We could talk about this forever, maybe. And I'm sure we'll bring it up again because, hey, it was interesting. Samir, thank you for coming on, taking the time. I know you got to get back to whatever it is. You got to help. Hey, go help out Chris.
We're trying. And, if you guys ever have questions or follow-up, I'm happy to answer. Really love your show. And go Blue.
Hey, thanks, Samir. We appreciate it. That's Samir Dama. Really appreciate him coming on, breaking it down. This California thing's going to go crazy now. It's going to pass. It's on the governor's seat sitting there. 3 years to get it for the NCAA to get it situated out now. They're on the clock. I mean,
your hand has been forced.
Exactly. I mean, you knew it was coming, but they were taking their time. But now, guess what? You're on the clock. It's going to happen no matter what, and you're going to lose. So why spend all that money? Well, they're making billions of dollars, though.
They got a lot.
We got to go to break, and then we got to get the whole truth from Isaiah Hole at Wolverine's Wire. You're listening to the M Zone.